Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source. Provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. The Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. This is Document Management for Accountants to Go, a monthly podcast program with executive editor Greg LaFollette and the country's foremost document management consultant, John Higgins. These thought leaders discuss all aspects of document management with a laser focus on the special needs of the practicing accountant.
This is Document Management for Accountant to Go, Episode 8, PDF Tools. Hello, Greg LaFollette, Document Management for Accountants to Go. We're recording Episode 8 today, and as usual, I have our host, John Higgins, the nation's renowned expert. John, I'm going to call you renowned now in the application of digital and paperless for the accounting profession. That's kind of a big place here as of late for the last, 10 years we've been working on that?
That's right, yeah. It's some big shoes to fill there with that.
Yeah, well, we got another 10 years to go, I'm afraid, before we get all of the firms to drink all of the Kool-Aid. But many of them are kind of moving down the road and starting to realize some of the real benefits. And I certainly appreciate, John, all of the extra work that you do for the profession through your consultancy and through all of your work with the Michigan Society and with the AICPA and with the CPA Technology Advisor and with Intersection Live in Document Management for Accountants to Go. We've been doing this, this is episode 8, so we started the first of this year, and our listenership is certainly growing. I think I told you last month our latest milestone was 100,000 downloads to our Intersection Live series. So there's an awful lot of people out there that pull down what you have to say, and I appreciate you taking the time.
Well, I appreciate being a part of it, and you've really done a lot with that, with the whole Tech Advisor magazine and all the supporting materials with the webcast and the podcast. When I go through the magazine, it's amazing how much it's really progressed just in the last couple of years. For all the accounting and tax professionals that listen to these podcasts and read the magazine, it's a pretty valuable resource, if I don't say so myself.
Well, John, but the secret to success is to find people much brighter than yourself and surround yourself with them. And for me, that's relatively easy. I go out and get guys like you, and I hang around, and people start to think I'm smart. But when really I'm just lucky enough to get guys like you to come in and share. So today we want to talk about Adobe tools, and this has been one of the real stumbling blocks, I think, for the profession all the way around. You know, we started out with kind of printing a digital copy of the tax return, then we said, well, gee, now we got to have dual monitors, and we got through that, and then pretty soon we said, well, we'll just make our work papers electronic, and the idea of trying to use Adobe to annotate work papers. Now, I'm not the smartest kid in class. I certainly understand that, but that's just plain hard for me. And I hear that talked about a lot. There's a whole bunch of different tools out there. And John, I know you've been speaking and teaching and consulting with firms on this a lot. Tell me a little bit about what some of the tools are, what some of your favorites are, and how does a firm go about making sure that their staff can appropriately use electronic work papers?
Okay, well, and I think when we talk about Adobe specifically and working with the PDF files, to me that's where the rubber really hits the road in the whole transformation to a paperless process, because that's at the point where you really realize now my pencil has gone electric. And that's one thing to go paperless. It's another thing to go without a pencil. And Adobe and all the various tools we'll talk about today are really what help replace your pencil and much more than replace it, really enhance what you could do with the pencil and provide you much better capability, ultimately, to manage and annotate your work paper files. But the big challenge is that it's a pretty significant culture shift in terms of just getting accustomed to now actually writing and marking up a document electronically. Again, it's one thing to view that electronically with the dual monitors and some of the opportunities we have with the improved displays, but now we have to go in and actually make changes to that document more than just typing in at the keyboard, and that's where we really start to see the role that Adobe plays.
Sure.
And what we've seen in the market, Greg, is that I guess there's a couple things that have happened. One is Adobe Acrobat, Adobe, I should say, and the Acrobat product line have continued to evolve to add more and more functionality to really allow you to take on some advanced tasks in terms of working with your PDF files. So I want to spend some time to talk about what Adobe has done themselves with their product. And then you have this third-party industry, which is really your accounting and tax software vendors, who have developed additional functionality to supplement the areas where Acrobat may be a little bit weak. And
so, John, most of the tools, in fact, I think all of the tools that you're talking about are really what we would call Adobe plugins. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that the listeners understand what that is, talk a little bit about Adobe and the ecosystem that they've created, and they've got a pretty powerful API that they share, right?
Yes, there's some very advanced tools available for the development community to use the application program interface as you identify. So that vendors can go in there, like CCH, for example. They've developed their ProFX scan software, which we'll talk about, and a component of that is called PD Flyer, which is a tool. It's an add-in tool, so it actually adds another toolbar to your Adobe screen and provides some more what I would call customized tick marks and stamps, electronic stamps, that are compatible with the kinds of annotations that accounting and tax professionals would typically make. So when we talk about the Adobe ecosystem, as you refer to it, Greg, I think it's worth the time to take just a couple minutes to talk about the Acrobat product line.
Okay.
Because we get a lot of questions about this from practitioners all the time. Do I need Reader? Do I need Writer? What version should I get? And so forth.
Well, Acrobat is really they're building a platform, because they're off into all sorts of things, video, and I mean they're doing all sorts of things, right?
Absolutely, and you can kind of to a certain degree look at the evolution of Microsoft Office as an analogy. For those of us who are old enough to remember, we had Lotus 1-2-3, and then a separate product called the WordPerfect, and then along came Microsoft and developed Excel as the spreadsheet. And Microsoft Word is the word processor. They wrapped around PowerPoint and Outlook, and to develop a whole suite of products. In a very different sense, we're seeing the same kind of an evolution happening with Adobe, where they have quite an extensive array of tools. But frankly, a lot of them don't really apply to accounting and tax professionals, because a good chunk of them are really more for the creative community.
Exactly. But, and a bunch of things that accountants need just plain aren't in there.
Right, and that's where we have this whole third-party industry of add-in tools that we're going to talk about.
Okay.
So when we talk about the Adobe product line for a moment, though, there's really now there's really four products. You have Adobe Reader, which everybody gets access to for free. If you're not familiar with Adobe Reader, then it's probably time to really sit back and look at your whole approach to technology, because that's a mainstay that people have been using for many years. It's
right. Free.
And generally, all it allows you to do is view PDFs. You can't really annotate PDFs, except in some circumstances I'll explain. But it's primarily the tool to allow people like your clients to view their PDF copy of the tax return. So it's very common to, if you send an email of a PDF copy of your tax return to your client,
which
you might also
we're not going to do, right, John?
Right.
We're not sending PDF copies of tax returns, right?
That's correct. We're using portals.
Right.
You could put a link to read around there so they could download that for free to make sure they can view the PDF.
Okay.
Then we get into what some people refer to as the writer products, and that's really a misnomer. The actual product names are Adobe Acrobat. And now with the latest release, which is version 9 of Acrobat, they've gone from 2 to actually 3 editions. You have Acrobat Standard. Then the next level up is Acrobat Professional. And then the third level is Acrobat Professional Extended. And, you know, probably it's beyond the scope of this time we have today to get into all the details, but suffice it to say that what I personally believe is that Acrobat Standard is going to be almost as an important tool for an accounting and tax professional as Excel. I would put it somewhere between Microsoft Word and Microsoft Excel in terms of its impact on our day-to-day work in an accounting firm. Because we use Word, of course, to type up letters, but we don't type that many letters, especially nowadays. Many of the letters get put into abbreviated email messages. Excel, of course, is much more powerful in terms of all the formula and the graphing and capabilities.
Sure.
But Adobe, as a tool to really work with the PDFs, is becoming more and more important. And so Acrobat Standard is kind of the de facto tool that I believe every CPA ultimately needs to have at their disposal. The professional version and now the new Professional Extended, typically what we recommend for firms is you don't need those for everybody in the firm, but you probably want one or two copies of that level of software. And the two primary advantages that they bring is one is the ability to create electronic forms. And that's no small feature in terms of the potential there, because what you can do with the Adobe Forms tool is you can take an existing paper form, routing sheet, checklist, review note sheet, all the different forms that you know have developed over time and within an accounting practice, and you can literally scan that form in, and Adobe will facilitate a process where that scanned-in paper form can get converted into an interactive dynamic form.
Sure.
So that and there's a whole lot of things you can do with that form. So you could, for example, create a routing sheet, and instead of having everybody sign in their initials for who currently worked on that step of the return, you could create a little pull-down box of the list of the people who potentially could have worked on that return, and they could just pick their name from a list. So you have the ability to think about any of those forms you use in your practice. With the Adobe Forms tool, you can convert them to a dynamic form and add a lot of functionality to simplify the creation of that form, but more importantly, the ability now to move the form electronically.
Okay.
And that's necessary in order to truly go paperless.
Right.
So kind of keep that in mind with the professional version. That allows you to create the electronic forms. And then with the standard version and the reader version, you can fill in the forms. And so that's just one aspect of how you differentiate the difference between the standard and professional. So let's move from there. Hopefully that gives people a fairly good perspective of the Acrobat product line. I guess one of
John,
the points
those,
to make. Yeah.
Those are priced, obviously, differently, too, is correct?
Yes. I think the Acrobat Standard today, if you were to buy it for the first time, is around $200 to $250.
Right.
And then I think you can add $50 to $100 for each of the two editions above that.
Okay.
And then if you're upgrading, I think the upgrades are typically running around $100 to upgrade to the current.
Right. And most firms are going to have volume licensing anyway.
Yeah. And while we're speaking about the versions, there's really kind of in play today in the marketplace. You still have a number of firms, I think, that are still working with version 6, and my recommendation would be it's time to move off of that. Version 7 is still very widely used and reliable. There was a big jump in terms of stability between version 6 and 7. Then you had probably 2 years ago, version 8 came out, and then this year, just recently, they released version 9. So today, I would say the predominant release that's in use is the version 8. But obviously, as time goes on, version 9 will overtake that.
Right.
So if you're buying brand new, you typically want to go with the current release. The thing you want to be careful about, however, is if you're going to be using any of these third-party products we will refer to here, you just want to make sure that they've done what they need to do on their end to make their add-in compliant with version 9, because it's still fairly new.
So, John, as we're talking about Adobe, and we're going to talk about add-ins, but there are also a bunch of firms, and I know accountants like the special pricing on some of these other products, but there are a bunch of products out there that are almost free or virtually free or a lot less than Adobe that would claim to be the same as Adobe. The PDF Creator Suite from AmiUni, for example, and there's a bunch of other ones out there. I have kind of an odd feeling about most of those because I always kind of wonder, you know, whether for those of you who are as old as John as you and I are, you'll remember the pains of what we used to call IBM compatible.
Right.
I remember those days. Well, you know, is this stuff really Adobe compatible? What's your thought about some of these clone products?
Well, I guess the first point to make is that so everybody understands, when we talk about PDF, it's an acronym for Portable Document Format. It's an open standard. It's actually owned. The standard was developed by Adobe Software Company.
Right.
But it is an open standard, so anybody can develop software to read, write, and manage PDF files.
Uh-huh.
But what it all comes down to, in my opinion, is you're probably going to, in the long run, spend more on training your personnel how to use Adobe than you are on the Adobe software itself. And so it's a mainstream product, and the advantage you have with Adobe is that when you go to hire somebody from another firm or coming into your firm for the first time, there's a greater chance that they have already had some exposure to Adobe, and maybe you save some training time there, whether it's training dollars. If not dollars, it's going to be training time, and probably both. And so that's where I think the value comes in. I'm a big believer in those kinds of solutions, just like Microsoft Office. There's other tools you can use, but there's the advantages of staying in the mainstream, in my opinion, far outweigh the additional cost savings you might get from a clone product, so to speak.
Agreed.
So, so you just want to be careful. Just don't be penny wise, pound foolish, I guess is what it all comes down to in that regard. Okay, so maybe we can move on now, Greg, and talk about some of the add-ins. And so what I did in preparation for our talk today is I kind of put them into two major categories, three categories. One we'll talk about are those that are really not add-ins. They're key features within Acrobat. But
okay.
As far as external add-ins, one category we'll talk about refers to tools to help create the PDF, and then the second category would be tools to help manage and work with the PDF files. And so in the first category, we talk about creating the PDF. This is what is referred to as your scan and organize software tools. And in your September issue of the magazine, Isaac O'Bannon did a nice job reviewing an article titled Scan, Organize, and Populate, which is a little bit more than what we're talking about here, but pretty much the same, many of the same products. And so what we're talking about when we talk about scan and organize tools is there's a few key features you're looking for there. One is the whole OCR functionality, optical character recognition. And what this functionality is going to do, just so everybody understands, is that when you scan in a paper document or you import an external file, the OCR process will go through and review that document or that file and interpret the contents so now the contents can be fully text searchable, for example. So we can go in and search for the term Social Security number, or we can search for the client's name or search for the form name and so forth.
So it's actually reading text as opposed to just looking at pictures of text.
Yeah, exactly. It's turning that picture into a understandable page as far as the computer is concerned. Then you have another functionality in this area would be what we'll call image enhancement. And this would be things like despeckling, taking speckles off of the page, the scanned-in page, de-skewing the page. So if it went through the scanner at a little bit of a tilt, it'll clean it up as it brings it into the PDF file, cropping the image so that if you have a if you scan in a small W-2 form, you don't get just a one big 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper with a W-2 contents. It'll actually crop it down so your image in the PDF file is really only displaying as the size of the W-2 form itself.
Okay.
Blank page detection, where in the scanning process, the scan and organize software would say, oh, this is a blank sheet with no information on it, therefore let's not bring it into the PDF file.
And that's so you can scan single-sided and double-sided documents all in the same pass. And if it is a double-sided, it's going to scan both sides. But if it's just a blank sheet on the back, it'll just discard that rather than having all those blank sheets in there. Do I understand that right?
That's exactly right, yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, you have three choices. One is to have somebody manually go through and you know, look at the paper documents going in, or you scan everything in and then go into Acrobat and remove the blank pages, and that's time-consuming also, or you simply allow the scanning and organizing tool to do that for you. So it's a real time-saver because, as you say, you can put in a pile of both single-sided and double-sided documents and not have to worry about having a bunch of blank pages to deal with.
Sure. Now, and those products also get rid of those nasty colored background things too, right?
Some of them can. Yeah, you got. Okay. You know, we have to be a little careful about being too. What's the term I'm looking for?
Aggressive.
Or generic, I guess, in our discussion here, because that's where you start to differentiate some of the capabilities of each of the different solutions
okay,
out
sure,
there. But
sure.
But yeah, there are like VIS, for example, which is a virtual rescan. From Kofax is actually does a very nice job of that, where it can you know lift off the highlighters or lift off the coffee cup stains and some of that stuff.
Right.
So,
and John, many of those products are bundled along with scanners that are sold. So you know many firms find out that they already have this stuff.
Yes. Yeah, that's
okay.
And I'm kind of referring to them as like scan and organize tools, but you could break that and separate it out because you could have scanning tools that, as you say, come with the scanner itself, and then organize tools which may be designed more specifically to accounting and tax work and may or may not do some of the scanning cleanup. So that's a good point. The probably the fourth feature to point out, and perhaps the most important when we talk about the scan and organize add-ins for Adobe, is the ability to automatically bookmark your documents. And so what's happening here is that, and this is where the OCR becomes important, so that makes the document more readily recognizable by the software. But what these organized applications will do is they'll interpret the document as best they can, and they'll see, oh, this is a W-2 form. Therefore, when I bring it in as a page to the PDF file, I want to give it a bookmark called, I want to assign it a bookmark of W-2. And then if the next document is a 1099, it should recognize that as a 1099 form and assign a bookmark to it of 1099. And again, here's an area where different vendors can do different levels of effectiveness on this. But the bottom line is that at the end of the scanning process, you go to look, you open up Adobe and you open up the PDF file, and now you're going to have, hopefully, the vast majority of the document pages have already been assigned a bookmark. And
right.
Then you may just want to go in and edit the bookmark names perhaps a little bit. You'll probably have a category called, like, unrecognized forms. And for those, you'll have to go in and create your own bookmark names. But it saves a whole bunch of time as opposed to if you have to go in manually and review every page of the scanned in work papers and manually create a bookmark. That could easily be a half hour to an hour's worth of work on a typical 1040 return if you have to do that manually.
Okay,
so,
John, so one of the things that I run into is I talk to practitioners, and we talk about the the Adobe tools and some of the challenges of working with PDF files, many people don't understand the difference between reorganizing and repaginating of a PDF file and bookmarks. Those are not the same thing, and I'd like, at least I don't believe they are, and I'd like you to kind of explain how those are different and where the benefits are of each.
Okay, and yeah, we'll try to paint a picture here. When we talk about bookmarking, if you visualize looking at a PDF file, you'll have your main document view on the right-hand side where you can flip through or page up and page down to go through and view page by page as it was scanned in. On the left side, you'll have a bookmarking window. And in the bookmarking window, you can create pointers to any spot in the document that you want to. So your first bookmark, we'll call it a transmittal letter, could be referencing the last page of the scanned document. And so what is a little confusing sometimes for people at first is that there is no specific relationship between the order of the bookmarks and the order of the pages in terms of standard Adobe. So if I rearrange, maybe I want that transmittal letter bookmark to be at the bottom of my bookmark list, or maybe I want my bookmarks to be in alphabetical order, for example. So I could move that transmittal letter bookmark tag, if you will, or identifier, anywhere I want in my list of bookmarks. The transmittal letter page will stay as the last page in the PDF file itself.
Sure.
Now, there's a big caveat to that, because the scan and organize tools typically will link the bookmark to the page location. So in that case, if they have created that link, when you move the bookmark, it will also rearrange the page sequence. So that can create confusion, because if you created a PDF without your scan and organize software, then there's no relationship between the physical location of the bookmark in the bookmark list and the physical location of the page in the PDF document.
Okay.
But with scan and organize software, there is a link. So, and that I think ultimately can be advantageous, because then you are keeping your bookmark sequence in the same order as the physical order of the pages, which would be more similar to what we're used to when we're reading a book with the table of contents at the front. The
sure.
table of contents always go from front to back in the
right.
book.
Well, and one of the places where that becomes helpful is in case of an IRS exam. You want to pull that file out, and if you don't necessarily want to hand the entire set of work papers to an agent, and I certainly wouldn't, I'd give them only exactly what they looked for. If you go in and just print that PDF file, what you'll find is it will print in paginated order, not in bookmarked order. Do I say that correctly, John?
Yes, that's
okay.
Exactly.
So
correct.
So then you have what you have while you're looking at the PDF file on your computer. It's beautifully organized. When you've printed it, there's no organization to it at all. And you know, so it's nice to have the two the same, but they're not always the same.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's
correct. Okay.
And
I'm sorry
example.
I took you off there,
no,
John. So I apologize.
Well, that's also a good point to emphasize the importance of really developing a good understanding of how Adobe works, because there are some nice tools and commands inside the application that would allow you to work effectively with pages within a document. So they have what's called a thumbnail view, so you could get a view of multiple pages on the screen at a time, and you can use the select tools to select a range of pages, or you can jump around and select individual pages as a collection. You could identify and extract those out. So if you need to give the IRS auditor, you know, work paper page 5, 10, and 12, you can just pull those three out into a separate file as well. So there's a lot of good tools that, as you develop more of an understanding of how to use Acrobat, those things become easier to get accomplished.
Right.
So we talked about some of these add-ins to have good OCR to convert the document into readable form, to enhance the images, detect the blank pages, and then most importantly, doing the automatic bookmarking and page organization. That's, as I said before, that's really the most powerful feature of those tools. And some of the vendors that kind of lead in this market, if you will, we have a relatively new entree, Gruntworks from Copanion. CCH has their ProFX scan. SurePrep has 1040 scan. And Thompson has is part of their GoFile, and they have TaxSort. And each of these are different in their capabilities, so I don't want to be too generic in trying to bundle them all together. Some of them have additional capabilities beyond what we've talked about today.
Right.
But those are all examples that you might want to look at closer to get a better understanding of just exactly what we're talking about here today.
Okay.
Okay, so let's move then to the managing of the PDF types of tools.
Okay.
And primarily these come in the form of tick marks. Because, you know, the key is, okay, I've got this 1040 PDF copy of a 1040 on one screen, and I have in all my scanned work papers on the other screen, or maybe I've merged the two together to create one bundled PDF file with the finished tax return and the, or at least the draft of the tax return and the work papers. And so now I need to go in and do the things that I always did on a pencil and paper basis, which is to make little tick marks that I footed a number, or I'm referencing a number from form page one of the form 1040 to a supplemental schedule. And so how I'm going to do that is with the tick marks and the stamp tools. And Adobe comes with a nice set to start with, but what we find in the marketplace is these third-party vendors have developed additional tools to give you a bigger collection of tick marks that would be more prominent in an accounting and tax application. So you might have a tick mark that says footed. You may have an electronic stamp that says reviewed by. And a good example is Acrobat comes with a standard, what we call a dynamic stamp, called approved. And when you go to, you just go to the toolbar and you say, I want to stamp this page approved, and we call it dynamic because it'll put in the author's name and the date and time. Well, in an accounting and tax practice, we might rather call that reviewed as opposed to approved. So that's where these other tools would add that kind of capability where you could have a stamp called reviewed and it would put the reviewer's name and the date in there. And like I say, primarily what they have is a broader collection of tick mark tools, symbols, as well as the electronic stamps. They're similar, but there's a little bit of a difference between the two. And
sure,
when you start to work with Adobe, it'd be a little more clear when something's a tick mark versus when is it a stamp. Another feature really just is a way of using the tick marks is to develop reference links. And so if we take, let's just say, for example, PD Flyer from CCH, you have a stamp, or I should say a tick mark, that could be like a reference tool, would be a number one with a circle around it. And then I could go and I'd place that on a line on the 1040, and I would go and place that exact same tick mark on a supporting schedule that references, you know, the number on the 1040. And so what's missing there is I have this number one as a reference in both spots. Now I've got to use the functionality of Adobe to go in and actually create an automatic link or an electronic link. I can do that. It's tedious, so it's a little tedious, but I can
right.
go in and say, I want this circled number one on the 1040 to reference directly to this circled number one on my supporting schedule. And so I hope this is clear. When you're looking at the tick mark on page one of the 1040, you can click on it with your mouse, and it would then take you to the supporting schedule.
Automatically.
Automatically,
right.
Yes. As opposed to having to go and search for it, and you know, that can be time-consuming.
Right.
What's missing, at least as far as I know, and if somebody's got this, I'd really like to know it, is that to be able to just, when you place that tick mark on there, like the circle number one, when I place the second one somewhere else in my PDF file, it automatically creates the link. We've been asked to do that. We haven't done that yet. And if somebody has it, I think that's a really valuable feature, because that's what tick marks are often about, is we're referencing another page within that PDF file. And that really streamlines the review process to have that.
Exactly. And I am not familiar with anybody that has built that at this point.
Yeah, so hopefully that'll be coming down the pike here before too long. The another nice tool related to the tick marks and the stamps is a virtual adding machine tape. I know when we work with firms and, you know, kind of help them plan the process to implement document management and go paperless, one of the things we have to tell them is you can't be running adding machine tape and taping it onto the physical piece of paper anymore, because that's not good for your scanner. The tape may get all gummed up in the scanner, and plus, when you put it on the piece of paper, it's hiding whatever it's covering, obviously.
Sure.
So there are some virtual adding machine tape tools out there. I think the most popular one is probably MoffSoft, MoffSoft.
Uh-huh.
You can go to, that's their website, and they actually have a free, and then they have a fee-based version of the software. It's a nice little tool because you have a virtual adding machine or calculator that comes up on your screen, and so you can run a tape. So if you want to do run a supporting check of interest and dividends revenue income, you can just, you know, run the tape, and then you say, I want to copy the tape and put it next to the total that's on your actual tax return as a reference tool. So it's pretty cool because that way you keep it paperless, and you can move that virtual tape to a different part of the document if you need to make sure you're not covering up any important information on the tax return itself.
Well, that's also built into the Tick, Tie, and Calculate product.
Yeah, that's a good point. In fact, I was just going to mention some of the vendor solutions that are out there in this Tick Mark tool area. You've got the Tick, Tie, and Calculate from Act First, because they have Act First has a document management system that's available as a web-hosted or an in-house solution, and so they've come out with the Tick, Tie, and Calculate as an add-in tool, but you can use it standalone. You don't need to use the Act First document management system with that. We've actually created customized tick marks here at CPA Crossings. In our work with some CPA firms, we've been asked to do that, so we've developed a collection of them. CCH, in their ProFX Scan product we talked about earlier, has PDF Flyer incorporated into it, and so it's PD Flyer. I keep on saying PDF flyer,
right.
In the old tennis shoes. It's PD flyer that has the expanded set of tick marks and also does the bookmark and page linking in the organizing process.
And unfortunately, they don't sell that separately. The only way to get that product is to use their scan solution.
Yeah, that's that's obviously their strategic marketing decision. Who are we to question that? Although I do say that I know there's a lot of firms that I would recommend it to where they may not be ready to go to the full document management or the ProFX scan.
Well, John, when you say who are we to question, that's our job. And every time we end up talking about these tools, if we do this on a webcast or on a podcast, I guarantee you there are people listening saying, I want to buy that. Why can't I buy it? So my suggestion to all of you is, if you want to, call your sales rep and say, I want to buy this. And eventually, the guys in Riverwoods will hear that. They are a very clever bunch of guys, and they'll eventually start to do what's in their best interest to do. So,
yeah, that's a good point. Because for many firms, particularly smaller firms, this whole process, it's best done in bites. I mean, and you got to be careful how much you try to bite off at one point in time. So that's a great natural place to start, is just getting familiar with Adobe and using some of these tick marking tools to get really comfortable with developing an electronic set of work papers. And that, to me, would seem like that would lead to more sales of document management systems ultimately.
Right.
Another vendor you have, GoFileum, has their document management system, and I'll just use them as an example in the sense that when you buy the document management software, they have an extended set of Adobe tick mark symbols as well. But in that case, it's embedded in the document management system. And so that's a good time to point out that most or many of your document management software vendors will have some of these tick mark enhancements inherent with their document management software. It's just bundled right in. ProFX Scan is a little bit different because you've got ProFX is the document management system, and then ProFX Scan, which can be purchased standalone, but that includes the PD Flyer. And so if you don't need the whole scanning tool, that's what we were just talking about, is maybe unbundling those two.
Right.
So you know, look at your document management vendor if you have one, or if you're looking for a document management solution, that definitely should be one of your checklist items is, you know, what capabilities do they provide to help you work with your PDF files once they're brought into the system.
So, John, one of the things, and we're starting to kind of run out of time here, so, you know, we can we'll certainly talk more about this because it's a huge area. One of the things where I think people need some guidance is the relationship between tradition. You know, we've always done it this way because it makes good sense to do it this way. These are the tick marks that we use in our firm, as opposed to looking at the tools that are available and saying, "Gee, we could substitute this particular feature that's already in Adobe or one of my add-ins, and all we have to do is change this." You know, you don't want to change everything. You want to make sure your tools do everything that you need. This is really a good time for firms to look at the whole workflow, and frankly, the tick marks is part of that. I mean, I've had firms tell me that, you know, well, I have to be able to make a blue check mark with a little tail on the top of it, because that's the way I review work papers, and I've done it that way for 35 years. So we have to do this electronically. And I say, well, you know, why can't we use a green check mark with a little tail on it? What difference does it make? You know, how do you advise clients in this area?
Well, if you can approach it with an open mind, as much as you can have an open mind about the whole process, that's going to save you in terms of frustration, because it can be very frustrating to try to recreate your current process with new tools. And as you kind of alluded to there, you may very well lose the benefit of those tools. And so if you have an open mind, and that's certainly where someone who's familiar with the tools can help guide you in that. And then you can hopefully see the big picture of, why don't we take advantage of, because this vendor, just pick vendor A, has put all these resources into planning their application, developing their application, getting lots of feedback from the user community. So just if they've done a good job developing their software, it inherently has built-in best practices, which is the buzzword term we use these days. And so why not leverage all that knowledge that's built into the software instead of trying to fight it by working towards keeping your existing processes? And it is a balancing act because, you know, nobody knows your business better than you do in most cases. So you have to decide, what are the things I really can let go of, and what are the things that are really important to our organization? And many times you could probably let go of more than you think you can. And if you do, like I say, it'll save you in frustration, and you'll be able to take better advantage of the tools that the vendors are putting out there in the market for us.
So the trick is keep an open mind, but not so open that your brains fall out.
There you go. I like that.
Okay. Okay. So, John, let's review the bidding here on the two things that we talked about. We talked, in addition to the different Adobe versions, and the Adobe versions were start with standard, and then what are the other two ones?
The other two are professional. In Adobe version 8, you only had standard and professional.
Right.
Now with version 9, they've broken the professional into a professional
pro
extended.
And pro extended.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then over on the scan products, and if you're interested in those scan and populate products, as John pointed out, there's a fairly extensive article in the September issue, and that's certainly available online. We'll put a link in the show notes to that too. So the products there are the CCH product, John, is called
ProFX Scan,
and there's a SurePrep, and that's their 1040 scan.
Correct.
Companion's product is called
Gruntworks.
Okay. And And then Thompson's product within GoFileRoom is called TaxCert.
Correct.
And so those are the major players. Now, CCH Small Firm Services has a tool that works exclusively with ATX and TaxWise, and that's a little scan and it's actually called Scan and Fill. So that that product is out there if you happen to use one of those tax packages. And originally, Intuit had a product out there 2 years ago, but last year they didn't sell it, and they keep telling me they're going to have a product this year, and they're going to make an announcement any day, but they told me that back in June, and now it's September, and any day hasn't come yet, so I don't quite know what to say about that.
Yeah, well, I think where we're at in the market, you've got Scan, Organize, and Populate. And in that order, the scanning piece is a pretty mature application. Organize is fairly mature. Populate, I say, is still first generation. So
exactly.
All the vendors, you know, have some challenges there yet.
Okay. So then over on the Adobe add-in side, we talked about the PD Flyer. And there's actually a bunch of others. If you use any of the CCA, or I'm sorry, the PPC products also have some Adobe add-ins built in, don't they?
Yeah, that's a great point. I didn't even consider those, but yes, absolutely.
So they throw some things in, but these things will always coexist. Always is a big place. They will oftentimes coexist with one another.
Yes.
So you could have multiple add-ins, but your toolbars can start to get a little funky if you end up with too many of them, right?
Right. Unfortunately, within Adobe Acrobat, you have some nice capabilities to customize your toolbar so you can turn off the ones that you just don't need to use or don't work with.
Right, right. And sometimes they just get added because your vendor wants to add them, and they just kind of stick them in there on you, which is annoying as heck. But, you know, if you do need them. So PD Flyer and Tick, Tie, and Calculate from Act First, and that's the one I see a lot of firms adopting, and I think it's because you can do it as a standalone.
Yes, and I also my understanding is that they were giving one free license away to any firm that asked for it. So
yeah,
you might want to check with them about that.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, there's certainly let you take a good hard look at it before you have to jump up there with the credit card number.
Yeah.
So, John, we're about out of time here. We need to wrap things up. We're going to record a Document Management for Accountants to Go episode 9 on Tuesday, October 14th, 10 a.m. Central Time. And so I look forward to talking to you again, John, at that point. John, do you have any travels coming up? Are you speaking at some conferences and things this fall, or sticking close to home?
Next couple weeks is pretty quiet. I've got a project out in California in about 3 or 4 weeks that I'm going out for, but getting a little chance to catch up here.
No, good for you. So, well, John, I will look forward to speaking with you again on Tuesday, the 14th of October. Today we talked a lot about Adobe tools. You want to give us a preview of next month's topic, or is that going to be a surprise?
Well, we have on our schedule, I think we want to talk about just the overall integration of document management systems specifically into tax services. And that should be very timely because it's time now to make some of the final preparations for any changes you want to make for the upcoming tax season. So we'll kind of bring a lot of what we've talked about in the first 8 episodes together and relate them specifically to using document management in the tax practice.
Right. Well, you're exactly right. That is timely. There's another tax season coming right down the road. So
yeah.
Look forward to that. I've been speaking with John Higgins, and John's our regular host on Document Management for Accountants to Go. John, thank you so very much again for your time. We appreciate your time and your expertise. Have a great day.
Thank you. You also.
This has been Document Management for Accountants to Go, Episode 8, PDF Tools.
For more information about the CPA Technology Advisor's other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit www.cpatechadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcast, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106. Or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.